Alcoholic, thank you guys for everything that we've got to experience thus far this evening. So we're going to open this back up right now, and I'm going to introduce to you Lauren A. from Braxland in Australia. And if I can find Lauren here to unmute her.
Hi, guys. I think I'm unmuted. Thanks, Brad and Kate. Hi, friends. My name's Lauren Attard, and I am an alcoholic. My home group is the Blaxland Primary Purpose Group, and we're located in Sydney, Australia. Thank you to the committee for the privilege and honour to be of service today for the first workshop of the Fellowship of the Spirit Easter lockdown. So the first workshop will be for the three legacies. And before we begin, I ask that we observe a moment's silence to reflect upon our primary purpose and the still sick and suffering alcoholic and their family members both inside and outside of the rooms. Serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So this will be a 1-hour workshop, followed immediately by some question and answer session in the breakout room. It is my privilege to introduce our first speaker, that is Carrie B. from Bend, Oregon, and I'll just unmute you, Carrie. There you are.
Hi, I'm Carrie, and I'm a recovered alcoholic as well. Thank you for having me. This is amazing. I appreciate everything that everybody's doing. So this is going to be a little bit different from what you guys have heard the previous speakers do, because I'm actually... I'm going to read my presentation today, and I haven't ever done that behind the podium unless I was like I had to at PRASA a couple years ago. But you know, because I'm not telling my story today, and this is a really important topic, I just didn't want to leave anything out or let anybody down. And this is important to me. So I thank you for asking me to be here. And without further ado, I said my name is Carrie. I am an alcoholic. I always have been. This is the New Horizons group of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bend, Oregon. We meet 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Monday through Friday, we are a study a piece of literature, of AA literature, and Saturdays is our speaker meeting. It's a speaker discussion meeting. If you're ever in Central Oregon, I hope that you will give me a call and come visit our group. My sobriety date is March 25th, 2010. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I sponsor women who sponsor women. All of these things are how I stay smack dab in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is where my higher power has made it very clear that I need to be. I've always been a contrarian. I'm a nonconformist by nature. I don't want to follow your rules. I don't want to take direction. And I want to make sure that you know that you can't make me. This has been the story of my life. And when I got to you guys, that didn't change right away. The more people in the fellowship tried to talk to me about the traditions, our second legacy, the more I resisted them. The more vocal I became that the only one we need is tradition 3, which guaranteed I don't have to follow your traditions and you can't kick me out no matter what, which is true. I unapologetically disrespected all of the other traditions every chance I got. Because why? Because I could. And again, you couldn't kick me out. You see, even though I was no longer drinking, I suffered from the still defiant alcoholic ego. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. One of the many ways I found I could get under your guys' skin or get you guys to get riled up was to use your own literature against you. Anything not to have to look at myself. One of your traditions seemed to be exclusionary, that you only wanted to help alcoholics and no one else. So when I first found the responsibility statement, I loved bringing my non-alcoholic friends in, throwing the responsibility statement in your face. I also didn't like prayer. One of the things that I spent some real energy on was going around to each group in my local area, attending the business meetings, and politicking to get the closing prayer removed and replaced with the responsibility statement. This was 10 years ago before the responsibility statement was a, you know, thing, was cool. I actually printed out boards myself and had the responsibility statement made into posters because it was before GSO sold those for all of my local meeting rooms. I could go on. In fact, I could go on the rest. I could go on down the entire list of all 12 traditions telling you horror stories of how I broke every single one of them. And we would be here for days. I wouldn't run out. I'll get to the point. When I finally got in enough pain from untreated alcoholism, I found myself at the jumping off place in sobriety. I ended up surrendering and allowed my sponsor to take me through the big book with complete abandon. I ended up having a profound spiritual awakening as the result of our 12 steps. And for the first time in my life, I could see past myself. Some of my selfishness and self-centeredness had started to disappear. I had a whole new outlook and attitude upon life and upon Alcoholics Anonymous. And like any newly recovered alcoholic who had just had their first spiritual awakening, I was on fire. I got into service right away. I started sponsoring. I got on committees. I had 100 service positions. I started carrying the message wherever and whenever I could. And all without any guardrails. That's right, because I had been so resistant to the 12 traditions that I had no clue what I was doing. I thought I was doing God's work. And now, at this point, at least the intent was good. But I made plenty of messes in our third legacy of service without having that second legacy in place. That's kind of what my talk's about today. That the three legacies are in order for a reason, just as the 12 steps are. That without a working knowledge of the 12 traditions, getting into service could create a lot more work for actual three legacy servants. I'm sure a lot of people had to go behind me and clean up my monumental trail of mass destruction and tradition violations as I went out into the world carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. The difference between my tradition violations before I had gone through the 12 steps and after is now that when it was pointed out to me that I was doing something that went against the traditions or could harm AA, I had regret and remorse. I genuinely wanted to do better. Before I went through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is our first legacy, I couldn't have cared less about our second legacy. And before I had somewhat of an understanding of our traditions, I couldn't be of real use in our third legacy, no matter how much I desired to, no matter how good my intent was. Those traditions are guardrails. They're street signs. They're lines in the middle of the road that tell me where my lane is and where the oncoming traffic lane is, which roads are one-way streets and which are dead ends. I'll go back to the responsibility statement for a moment. At one point, I did really believe that it was saying that we're supposed to be all things to all people, that we're supposed to help anyone who walks in the door with any problem they may have, financial, medical, legal. I was gonna help. I was the taxi. I was just on fire for service. I had no idea it was a third legacy piece, a service piece that speaks to our great responsibility, monetarily as well as physically, at our world services. I had been taking it out of context. In fact, I don't believe I'm alone on this. I think this responsibility statement is misunderstood throughout much of the fellowship. Although it is extremely important that when a new person walks in the door of our home group, we're there for them. In fact, I think the greeter is probably one of the most important positions in all of Alcoholics Anonymous. However, that's not what the responsibility statement speaks to. That's not why it was written. We were introduced to the responsibility statement in 1965 at the General Service Conference. The theme that year was our great responsibility. The author was referring to the fellowship's financial responsibility originally. However, it was also 1965. By the time we alcoholics finally took responsibility for our third legacy.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to, I'll send you what we have.
The service structure. So it was on that day in 1965 at the conference that our fellowship went from having 14 non-alcoholics, those are our Class A trustees, and only 7 alcoholics, which are our Class B trustees, to flipping that around and becoming responsible and taking responsibility for ourselves as alcoholics. And it was on that day that we became responsible. And now we have 14 trustees that are alcoholic, Class B, and only 7 that are non-alcoholic. I know that that's much more boring than what everyone thinks the responsibility statement speaks to. But it's the case. And that day we alcoholics, became responsible for our own, society and the future of our service structure. So what exactly does this service piece speak to? Just that. It's simply a reminder that we all take part in the weaving of the protective mantle, which covers AA as a whole, by helping to ensure the future of AA for the alcoholic not yet born. By supporting the GSO and by learning as much as we can about our traditions, concepts, and history, educating myself about these things, I help to ensure the future in the ages ahead. AA is still here for my great grandkids if I do this. This ensures that AA is here for even the isolated and the incarcerated, the loners. In the conference report from that year, 1965, you can read about this responsibility. Here's a quote from the 1965 conference report. About 599 lone members were registered at GSO as of spring 1965. 332 of these members were outside of the United States and Canada. These are men and women who, for various reasons, mainly because of geographical location, are not in a position to attend meetings. Our financial contributions are the reason we are able to make sure these alcoholics get help as well. I want P.O. Box 459 always to be there. I want Alcoholics Anonymous always to be there. Although reaching out to the alcoholic who walks in the door today is crucial, this declaration speaks to the preservation of the fellowship for anyone with accessibility issues, the hearing impaired, the blind, the isolated, the incarcerated, and for future generations. And for that, I am responsible. I need to make sure that I'm contributing my seventh tradition dollars in a responsible way. Am I throwing a couple bucks in every basket at every meeting I attend, even if they don't have a GSR and they spend all their money on expensive coffee creamers, barbecues, cake, and anniversary celebrations? Or am I supporting my home group first, where my responsibility lies? And where I'm a part of the financial decision-making process, and I can be assured that my money is supporting our primary purpose at all levels of the service structure. Does my home group have a GSR, an active GSR, not someone who was voted in while they were in the bathroom, but a qualified, passionate member of Alcoholics Anonymous who will do the job? If not, why? Are we maybe not talking about this important stuff in my home group? Have we lost sight of our primary purpose? Do I need to find a more active group? Or do I need to step up and be the one to set this example? This is what I'm responsible for. You can read more about the responsibility statement and the true meaning of it in the 1965 conference report from the year it was adopted, or from page 332 in the book As Bill Sees It. It is the essay titled, I Am Responsible. Today, I'm a little bit uncomfortable closing a meeting with it personally, only because many people may not understand what it truly means and why it was written and what it speaks to. I love closing service meetings with it, however. My home group business meetings, committee meetings, district meetings, and area assemblies. When the declaration is read in meetings, it could imply to the newcomer or to those who don't know any better that Alcoholics Anonymous should be all things to all people. And of course, that's simply not the case. We do one thing and one thing supremely well. We help drunks to get sober. We're not doctors. We're not the judicial system. We're not the alcohol education field. We're not the clergy. We're not other 12-step fellowships. I love how much humility is in our literature. I love AA literature. I will now read something from the last page of one of my very favorite pieces of AA literature, the 12 Traditions Illustrated. And you guys should know what that looks like. If you don't, of course, I'm not going to have... Oh, here's one. 12 Traditions Illustrated, or as my first sponsor liked to call it, 12 Traditions for Dummies. Or for blondes, whatever works, because it's got a bunch of cartoons in it, and it's helpful. So here's the statement. Anonymity, as we observe it in AA, is at root a simple expression of humility. When we use the 12 steps to recover from alcoholism, we are each trying to achieve real humility. When we use the 12 traditions to work together in AA, we are all trying to achieve humility as individual members by recognizing our true place in AA, and as a fellowship, by recognizing AA's true place in the world. Powerful stuff. Again, the treatment industry, it's there for a reason. We don't get involved there. Men of medicine, they're there for a reason. They have degrees. We're just drunks. We encourage outside help if needed, but we don't offer it. The judicial system, it's there for a reason. We don't get involved there. We don't tell people that they have to go to AA or how many meetings they have to attend. The clergy, it's there for a reason, and they do a good job. AA doesn't do that. Other 12-step fellowships, they exist for a reason. We don't pretend we know anything about drug addiction or eating disorders or gambling problems. Page 18 of the AA group pamphlet states, and this is another beautiful piece of humility written in our literature, quote, "It is misleading to hint or even to give the impression that AA solves other problems or knows what to do about drug addiction." So much humility in our literature, so much clarity, so much simplicity. Bill Wilson said, "Sobriety, freedom from alcohol through the teaching and the practice of the 12 steps is our sole purpose of an AA group. To represent the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, we have the Serenity Prayer. In steps 1 through 3, I had to learn how to accept the things that I couldn't change. In steps 4 through 9, I was granted the courage to change the things I could. And through practicing steps 10, 11, and 12, the maintenance and growth steps, I'm slowly gaining the wisdom to know the difference. Our second legacy, our 12 traditions, well, it has a declaration to our first legacy, what the Serenity Prayer is to our first legacy of recovery. And the Declaration of Unity reads, this we owe to AA's future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united, for on AA unity depends our lives and the lives of all to come. And then, of course, we have our third legacy of world services. I am responsible. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. But I can't be responsible no matter how hard I try, no matter how passionate I am, and no matter how good my intentions are, without taking the time to learn about all three legacies and our history. A mentor of mine once said, how are we going to know where we're going if we don't know where we've already been? The best piece of literature I can offer anyone wanting to learn about our three legacies is the book AA Comes of Age. After I had begun learning about the traditions and I had a newfound appreciation for them, I was sitting in a meeting one day at my home group, and an old timer was chairing the meeting. I'll never forget this. He said something that spoke to my still defiant alcoholic ego. He said, "For anyone who thinks they've been through the traditions but haven't read AA Comes of Age, that's just like saying you've been through the 12 steps but haven't read the big book." Needless to say, I went out and I bought AA Comes of Age that day. I started an AA Comes of Age book study at my house every Tuesday with my sponsorship line until we got through the entire book. I found in this book a beautiful story of how all three legacies were born. Aside from the big book, this is my favorite book in the whole world. It's a love story for me, a story of passion, a story of deep love and unique understanding, a story of miracles and of seconds and inches. And I dare anyone to read this book and finish it with anything but the utmost respect for all three legacies of this beautiful gift that we've been given, which is Alcoholics Anonymous. I truly appreciate being asked to present on this today. It was an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carrie. That was wonderful. Virtual clap for you.